The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to another final hooter on loveribly.com. Thanks very much to Radio General for letting us use the studio. Parky, how are you? You all right?
Yeah, okay? Really good. Really good. I mean, the less that can be said about my team, the better, which seems to be disintegrating with every passing week.
Yeah, another exciting moment for Lee, isn't it?
It is, yeah. We had a great
don't do anything in half, do you?
Great big long statement from Derek Beaumont came out at the weekend, basically saying that he's on his way out of the club at the end of the season. He has confirmed that it will be part-time next season, and he's not going to be putting any more of his finance into the place.
Never goes to plan for Lee, does it? Just when you look like you're on the roll and things are going to plan, it falls a bit.
I've had this
dramatically.
I've had this conversation with people in the town, you know, that I know, and yeah,
it was a ride. It was a good ride where it happened.
Oh, fantastic ride, you know. And to be fair, I don't blame Derek at all. I think Derek is well within his rights now to sort of look after his family, look after his businesses, because without doubt, if you're pumping money into a rugby league club, that's going to drain your finances, because most rugby league clubs don't make money. I've written a couple of pieces from the heart over the last few weeks for the Lee Observer, where I've given my thoughts on where I think the club could go. Obviously, I'm just a man with an opinion, though, so that's for people probably with more money and more cash at their disposal than me to take the club on and as a going concern, and to make Lee great again.
We will believe. That was the motto around Lee a year ago, wasn't it?
That was a few years ago, that wasn't it? We had believe.
You have to dig it back out again. We believe in Lee to come back.
Believe in Lee, yeah.
Yeah, fair play to Derek Beaumont. He has been quite honest and upfront about the situation. It all came about from the fact they didn't make the qualifiers.
Yeah, and I think it's a difficult situation that the club has found itself in, because I mean, a lot was made before the start of the season of this supposed parachute payment which headed Lee's way, which did boost their spending power up to 1.25 million for the season. However, with that payment came certain strings attached, which meant that you had to use it on your playing budget. So in essence, you had to spend maybe more than you was looking at on your playing budget. So, you know, what do? You set yourself for that top four because you're thinking, well, you know, that's where the money is. And if it doesn't happen, then you're on a cliff edge, aren't you? And unfortunately, I think Derek's found himself on the edge of the cliff. And he's done his level best over this last few weeks to reduce the obligations.
Tried to steady the ship, hasn't he? Make sure they fulfil the fixtures.
Yeah, I mean, there's lads that have, you know, left. Harrison Hanson, for example, going to Widnes, and Peter Matautia, for example, going to Castleford, and a couple of lads ending up at Hull Kingston Rovers. I think six went in total.
Where's Kieran Cunningham going?
Well, yeah, he's another one that left over the course of the last week, isn't he? Yeah, which is a really interesting one. Apparently tore up a three-year contract as well.
Wow.
Didn't ask for any compensation. So fair play to Kieran. He understood where the troubles at the club possibly lay, and the fact that if he hung on, he was causing more hardship. So it's good when people do that.
Well, Derek Beaumont on Sunday released a statement to truthfully tell us of the situation. It landed in my email box when I was covering Crusaders versus Bradford, and it was that long. It took me the entire first half to read it and digest it.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair,
it was a lengthy statement, to say the least.
It's a lengthy statement, but there's a lot of good stuff in it, and a lot of stuff where he's been, as you say, he's been very honest. Derek is one of the most upfront and straightforward guys that I have known. Very clever bloke as well. He's a guy I've always enjoyed speaking to. He's passionate, isn't he? He's passionate.
Yeah.
Very passionate, and you know, no one can say that he hasn't put his all into Lee Centurions.
Oh, yeah, he has. Yeah.
Obviously, you do sort of wonder, sort of where the future of the club lies. And I've heard a couple of rumours about, you know, potential takeovers, people in the wings. Probably not at liberty to actually go any further than saying that at the moment, but I feel quietly confident that, you know, there will be a club next season. Quite what format that will be. I don't think anybody will be full-time at the club next season, I've got to admit, from a playing point of view, especially when you're only going to get 200 grand of infrastructure money as far as the Rugby League is concerned. But let's be honest, Adrian, there's probably 30-plus other clubs that we could go on about in some detail, so I don't want to just hog this and have it as the Lee show.
No, it's not just the Lee show. Lee, the latest club, to be in dire straits, and Barrow, another club this week that have come out saying they need a cut the grand to save the bacon.
Yeah, they've got a GoFundMe page, I think, up, haven't they?
Should we set one up?
I was thinking of doing that anyway.
A final hooter crowdfunder for our end of season do.
Well, we could do. I was thinking that could be my Fiji fund. Heading off to Fiji with the Bala Lions.
The Bala boys, aren't you?
Yeah, really looking forward to it. It's a great honour, that, by the way.
Right, we'll do it. Let's have a crowdfunder for our end of season do before you go to Fiji. And if you get an extra couple of quid, I might be able to jump on the trip with you.
So, to be honest, you're not the first person that's tried to sneak in my case either. There's a couple of people that I've spoken to. You're behind. I'm drawing up a shortlist as it stands at the minute.
I thought I'd be first on the list.
You're always first on some sort of list. I don't know about my list. Shall we move on?
Yeah. Hey, guess what?
Go on.
20 years ago, Sheffield Eagles were crowned the champions of the Champs Cup.
Stop it. You're making me feel old. It
makes me feel old.
What a game that was, by the way, when they beat Wigan.
Should we hear from Mark Aston? He talks about it right now.
Yeah, brilliant guy, Mark Aston. Really interesting little interview piece, this.
I want to talk 98. I was thinking with the way that Catalan Dragons have made the final this year, your thoughts on that and your thoughts as well of sort of like leading the first franchise club, Sheffield Eagles, to that final.
Yeah, I mean, obviously nobody gave us a cat and mouse chance, did they? And people haven't given Catalans a cat and mouse chance. And I was thinking about it myself the other day. There's a few similarities there, isn't there? They set off the season quite sluggish and they've picked up. And you wouldn't write them off. You wouldn't write them off. They've got a desire, just same as we had. And as we looked at it and John planned it from minute one and said, we're going to go to Wembley, we're going to win it. So, you know, the attitude, the commitment, the application of the guys certainly was there, and I see a lot of similarities, I say, with Catalans. And can they win? 100%. I mean, you look at the team and the stacks with quality players, and they've still got Bird to come back. But he might miss it, mightn't he? But they've got players like that you know, they have played at the highest level, played in big games, so you won't write them off. Albeit, you know, Warrington are going well as well at the moment, so it's going to be a cracker. But could it be 20 years since the last underdogs won at Wembley? Certainly could. There's no doubt about that, and it's going to be a fantastic game. We're going. There's 10 or 12 of us going down. We're invited by the RFL to go and celebrate the 20 years from, you know, that day. So we're going to be paraded, I believe, around the pitch. So there's people like myself, Keith Senior, Dale Lawton, Paul Broadbent, Rocky Turner, Johnny Lawless, Matty Crowther, Nick Pinkney, Steve Deacon. There's going to be quite a large group of players going to be down there, and hopefully Wes Sabatabowa going to be down there celebrating it. And you know, we had a catch up this year on the day, and we went into Leeds, and you know, special. You know, you don't need to say anything; just look at each other and go, "We did good day."
Good. That was a special Eagle side, wasn't it?
And they're committed, and we want the best team in the world, and we're not kidding ourselves. You look at the Wigan team that day, and you look at the Sheffield team that day. How many players would you have took from Wigan into Sheffield? And vice versa, but you know, we were committed, and honestly, that day John had got us to our maximum mental state, if you like, where they'd had to shoot us dead to beat us. They would, you know, I just remember people putting the bodies, just throwing themselves wherever, just to stop the tries, just to stop them getting over there. And you got to look at the team they had, you know, you look at the Wigan team, your Betses, your Farrells, your Pauls, and all these guys, and Robinsons, and all this, you know, they were outstanding, but we had a belief, a common goal, and it shows that anything's achievable if you desire it more than anything in the world. And that's why we won on the day. As I say, we were certainly up for it. And as I said, they'd have certainly had to shoot us down dead to beat us.
20 years ago. Jeez. Some great names you mentioned there, didn't they?
Yeah, was Savatabua. Great to hear that he's going to be back in the country. He was a great player for Sheffield, wasn't he? Really exciting.
Let's fill Wembley and just witness that.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, there's your reason. There's your reason for going.
Forget the fact Euston's shut and we can't get down there by train unless you go around the world, but out via the UK. Let's just get down there anyway.
I reckon that loads of people will be coming back with tales like John Candy, you know, from that film, Planes, Trains and Automobiles, about how they got there.
Of course.
It's going to be amazing, isn't it?
But yeah, what a night, what an afternoon that was. And it was in May, whereas this time it's in August, isn't it? And there is word the Champs Cup could be on the move again, possibly next year or the year after.
Yeah, happened 2nd of May 1998. 17-8 was the result against Wigan. Pinkney, Crowther and Turner scored tries. Aston kicked two goals and a drop goal as well that day.
Great to see Mark Aston still involved in the game, and he loves it.
I got sent an interesting tweet, actually, a couple of days ago after I said I'd really enjoyed speaking with Mark. And it said, if Mark had done for football what he's done for rugby league in Sheffield, he'd have a statue somewhere.
Yeah, they'd give him the keys of the city,
wouldn't they? Oh, they would do, yeah. He has just been brilliant for that club, for rugby league. He just keeps banging his head against the brick wall, doesn't he, and trying to like knock it down and bring rugby league to the masses in Sheffield. And well done to him.
I think the lead into the final probably has got similarities to this year, because Catalans are in the lower half of the top eight. Mm-hmm. Warrington aiming for the top four. Sheffield went into that final finishing in eighth position.
Yeah, so I suppose, yeah, there are various similarities, aren't they? And, you know, you look at, he mentioned some of the other guys, the Paul Broadbent, Dale Lawton. These were guys that were, if you like, Sheffield through and through, weren't they? You can almost contrast those with some of the Catalans guys. Remy Casti, for example, he's been there forever. Jason Battieri seems to have been there forever and a day now. So, yeah, there's a lot of similarities, isn't there?
Greg Burke won't be there, by the way. Greg Burke. I say Greg Bird then. Greg
I think
Bird.
You might have done. I knew you meant though.
Began with a B.
Yeah, Greg Bird. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not going to be there, is he? He didn't get his suspension reduced, much to the annoyance of Steve McManara on Friday against Warrington. So anyway, enough of that. That leads us into a retro rugby league year, actually.
Should we
look back and see what actually happened in 1998, other than that great win for Sheffield Eagles against the mighty Wigan Warriors in the final at Wembley?
Yeah, why not?
John Kerr was a coach that day, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
Still
knocking around.
Still knocking about for Bradford.
I mean, you were speaking to him at the weekend,
yeah, but we're not going to hear from John. We're going to hear from Dane Chisholm very, very shortly. But let's reflect on 1998. Guess how old rugby league was in this particular year?
103.
Go on, guess.
103.
Oh, God, you were close.
Oh, go on, what was it?
104.
Oh, I always get those wrong.
Happy birthday. It was called the JJB Sports Super League.
Oh, was it?
Nice little plug for JJB. Other sports shops are available.
Well, they've all gone these days, haven't they, JJBs? Are they still going?
They're still going. I'm sure there's a few knocking about.
I see. Right,
yeah,
okay.
Somewhere. Anyway, that's what it was called, 104 years old. No surprises, Wigan were the champions.
That was the first year of the playoffs. Grand Finals as well, yeah. Wasn't it? The reintroduction of the Grand Final playoff.
Yeah, that's right. And they beat in the final.
Leeds
10-4. Leeds 10-4.
And this was quite a funny setup, wasn't it? Top five, if I remember rightly.
It was a top five playoff, yeah. So Wigan had one game to reach the final. And if they lost out, they had a second bite of the cherry. Basically, so in the qualifying playoff, Leeds defeated Halifax. That's the end of the road for Halifax. St Helens defeated Bradford. That's the end of Bradford. Then we move to the qualifying semi-finals. Wigan beat Leeds. St Helens beat Halifax, or Halifax eliminated.
Okay.
All right, so Halifax must have got a second bite of the cherry.
Halifax
as well.
Got a second bite of the cherry.
Yeah, I'm even confused looking at it.
Yeah, well, if you look at the league placings, you got Wigan who were top, then right. It was Leeds second, Halifax third, right, if you remember, because that was under John Pendlebury,
so
wasn't it?
So the top three got a second bite.
The top three had a second bite of the cherry, right. Where basically St Helens and Bradford were playing for their lives all the way through.
Oh, okay, so it was knockout rugby for them. Despite Leeds losing to Wigan, they did play St Helens in the final eliminator, as it was called. Defeated the Saints, but lost out to Wigan in the final at Old Trafford.
Yeah, of course, that was the year when, was it Jason Robinson cut through from about 25
he
metres
did.
Out?
Yes.
Got the ball on the wing, scuttled in field in his little style that he does, and then burst through two tackles and sped over under the post.
Yeah, it rained as well. It seems to rain every night on Grand Final night, doesn't it?
It rained, yeah, by heck it rained.
Yeah, we mentioned the top five. Wigan top. So didn't get the wheel trim back in them days, did they?
No, there was no wheel trim.
No wheel trim.
I think you just got a plaque for the wall.
A plaque for the wall and a chance to get to Old Trafford in one go. Okay. Halifax Blue Sox, as they were called then, finishing third. Hard to believe this. Down in the championship. They seem to have been there for years.
Yeah, John Pendlebury was the coach that year and he did really, really well, didn't he, in the opening couple of years of Super League, especially when he got that gig at Halifax.
Saints and Bradford finishing up the top five. Seventh, London Broncos. Then seventh in this particular year.
They could be up there again next year.
Hull were called the Sharks. I'm sure Hull fans remember that.
Yeah.
Do we?
I remember. No, I remember him as the Sharks. I do.
if you go to Hull and say, listen, what year were you called the Sharks? I don't think there's many Hull fans that'll have any Shark memorabilia. I just won't remember what year it was.
I definitely remember them being called the Sharks, though. Yeah, I do.
Well, obviously, it was in this particular year because they finished in ninth. Huddersfield were bottom again.
Was that the first year when they finished bottom? Because that was the first year back in, wasn't it?
Yeah, they finished bottom for quite a bit of the earliest part of the Super League, didn't they? Then
they did.
And then they came back. Yeah, only won two games all season.
All right, okay.
Mm.
Salford just above them as well.
Yeah.
And Warrington not doing too well.
Warrington
either.
Weren't doing too great in that particular year as well. So
looking at the Division One that particular season, this was a year in which, well, Widnes struggled. Lee Centurions had accepted promotion the year before and finished bottom of the table, conceding over 1,000 points. I remember that season very gravely indeed. But Wakefield Trinity had a great year, ended up again playing off in the playoff and defeating Featherstone Rovers. It could have all been very different, couldn't it, if Featherstone Rovers had won the final, but it ended up being a Wakefield victory by 24 points to 22. Hull Kingston Rovers were looking to really make an impact as the season went on. They'd spent the previous 2 years in the third tier and have finished top on both occasions. They finished second in the league table but then got knocked out in week three of the playoffs.
Right.
And then strangely enough, Division Two of the Rugby League Championship.
Of course, we had three divisions back in this era.
We did, yeah. There was eight teams in the division.
Right, okay.
And they somehow they played 20 games.
How's that work out?
I don't know. I've been trying to work it out myself.
So what teams are in this eight-team division?
This eight-team division consisted of Lancashire Lynx, who won it.
Oh, I remember going to watch them a while ago, yeah.
By virtue of point difference over York Wasps.
Come on, the Lynx.
Batley Bulldogs were third. Bramley were finishing fourth.
Bramley still knocking about.
Oldham had reformed in this year and finished fifth in the third tier.
Right.
And then you have Barrow, Workington and Doncaster. It was another bloody Sunday for the Doncaster Dragons.
When were they called the Dragons?
They got reformed as well, didn't they?
Right,
so they came back into the league, I think it was about 95, 96. It's
amazing to see York down there as well. Bearing in mind the turnaround they've achieved this season.
Yeah, so that was the division. Teams that obviously aren't about these days. Lancashire Lynx is one. Bramley's another one. Barrow Border Braves. And they're the Barrow Border Raiders.
Do you remember they've formed with Carlisle, who disbanded the season before, didn't they?
They did, yeah. Ended up with a pretty good squad, to be honest, even though they didn't play too well in that season.
Back in Super League, by the way, Huddersfield, finished bottom. They were spurred relegation because the division was expanded to 14 teams. We saw the introduction of Gateshead.
Gateshead came in for the following season,
yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. It was expanded to 14 teams.
So I mean that was that they were short lived, didn't they? It didn't take them long to merge with somebody.
They merged with Hull.
Yeah.
Funny enough. Who won what then? We've told you who won the Cup. So Man of Steel was Yestin Harris.
Oh, really?
It was. Top point scorer, Yestin Harris.
Right, okay.
Top try scorer, Anthony Sullivan.
Oh, was Sully still going on that year?
Anthony Sullivan.
Tell you what, he scored some spectacular tries.
A speed
tries.
Machine for the Saints.
Very spectacular player at times, wasn't he, Anthony Sullivan?
And that's basically 1998, 20 years ago. Who'd have thought?
Years.
It feels like it was yesterday.
It does, doesn't it?
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Right, I know Rugby League fans are intelligent.
Right, okay.
And they know the stuff, don't they?
We do, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right. Do Rugby League fans know something I don't?
Why? What are you insinuating?
Well, because for the last couple of weeks now, I've heard fans singing at St. Helens games. I'm not going to sing it. He's going home, Benny's going home.
I'm assuming this means Ben Barber, the star fullback.
Now, St. Helens keep denying it, but the fans keep singing it, he's going home.
He's almost been anonymous for the last two games that he's played at St. Helens as well, hasn't
he? Yeah, but do the fans know something we don't know? Because St. Helens as a club keep saying, no, he's going nowhere.
Yeah.
But the fans keep singing, he's going home.
There's speculation in the Australian press, isn't there?
Really?
But it's just speculation in time, surely.
I'm
I've not read anything definite.
Like I said, I know Rugby League fans are clever and they know the stuff. But
maybe they've already been tipped off, those Saints fans.
And it's the away fans singing it, not the Saints.
Oh, it's the away fans singing.
They're hoping Benny Barber's going to stay, but the away fans are always singing Barber's going home.
Right. I mean, one player that we do know is on his way from St. Helens from next year.
Who's that?
John Wilkin.
He is, yeah. Where's he going?
Well, he's being rumoured with a move to Toronto. I wonder whether he'll stay this side of the Pennines, though, because he's got a business in Manchester, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. Does he live in Manchester with his fiancée?
Could be a half-decent signing for someone, to be honest.
Should we talk semi-finals? It wasn't a good day for Benny Barber or John Wilkin at Bolton, but what a day out it was for Rugby League in the semis.
I think the Rugby League's to be applauded. Quite often we're quick to jump on the back, aren't we, and say when things aren't going right. This is something, the semi-finals of the Challenge Cup, they've got right this time. Two semi-finals on the same day, a double header. Four lots of fans plus any neutrals, and they were treated to a great day of rugby league, weren't they? I mean, Catalans, they were absolutely brilliant against St Helens. This was the most unexpected result I could have possibly imagined. And the Dragons, they've basically got the game sewn up at half time, haven't they?
Yeah, great game by the Catalans. St Helens just never really performed on the day, did they?
No, I mean, they were better second half, but by that stage you're already trailing 27-0 and the game's gone. So Catalans scoring tries on the day through Lewis Tierney, Tony Zigo, Sam Moore and Ben Garcia, who grabbed two. Josh Drinkwater kicked seven goals and Tony Zigo landed a drop goal as well. For St Helens, they had tries from Matt Percival, he scored twice, and Louis McCarthy Scarsbrook. Danny Richardson kicked two goals, but they were a distinct second best, weren't they?
They were. Anyway, let's hear from one of the heroes for the Dragons. It's Tony G. It's Tony Gigo. Is that how we say it?
I've always said Gigo, to be honest, but I'll go with your better. You interviewed the man.
Listen, it's Tony G.
Yeah, we're very proud. This is, as I said before, this is big work. The last few weeks, we worked very hard, and today that's the beautiful result for everyone, for the team, the fans, the club. It's unbelievable.
First half is beautiful for you guys as well.
Yeah. Wow, that was very, very good to see that from behind the line, and the boys did some tough work, and that's what we got, I think, the result at halftime.
Was it surprising how comfortable it was for you guys at halftime, 27-0?
We knew, like, if you send them in their camp, kick the ball, like, we have a good discipline, and we can put them in the bad situation, and that's what we did, and that worked for us today, so... We're very proud of that because we've seen St Helens playing very good the last all the years. This is the best team this year, and to do this performance today, that was very awesome.
I know what's been said about Saints, but you guys coming into this, probably the form team in Super League?
Yeah, we've been the last 3 months, we played very well, and we're not lucky today, that's not that. I think we were good and we play as a big group. We know what it was to be in bad time, but we stick together and now we enjoy it. In the good time.
And you got the job done in the second half and held on as well?
Yeah, we tried to control the game second half. It's been the first 10 minutes, few drop ball, but like, we control and we knew that we can go to Wembley now.
To reach a final and get to Wembley, what does it mean to Rugby League in Catalans and France overall?
We've been waiting a long, long time for go to Wembley now back, and that's been more than 10 years. So we're very proud of that, and we know the Catalans fans love Wembley. Maybe better than Trafford, so we're very happy to give them the opportunity to come back to Wembley.
I think you saw personally man of the match performance, outstanding.
Yeah, I'm very happy with my performance, but this is the group first, and I'm very happy for all the team. This is the most important, the team first.
Beautiful, Tony, beautiful.
He was very,
feeling
very good.
Feeling the love there, man.
He was really good in that game, Tony Gigo.
Who's the best French fullback, Tony Gigo or Marc Corella? He's good.
I'll go Tony Gigo. I think he just offers something, doesn't he?
Let's go with Tony G.
Tony G for president.
Mark K, runner-up.
You know, Mark K and Tony G, you sound like you're forming a DJ band.
A French pop band.
Yeah, exactly.
Rugby league players.
Exactly. I mean, don't get me wrong, Mark Corella could step up to Super League easy, I'm sure.
So it was a beautiful day for the Catalans. Well... Warrington and Leeds went head-to-head. It was beautiful for Warrington, but it was an ugly day for Sir Kevin the Rhino.
Yeah, they've not had the best...
As he described it.
They've not had the best of it, have they, Leeds, since those two have gone in the coaching realms there, and trailing 26-6 at half-time. I thought for a time, I thought we were going to get a really good semi-final, to be honest. Because
20 minutes, Leeds looked okay.
Yeah, I thought that, Warrington started off like a house on fire, held them at bay for a while, took the advantage, and then Warrington just got on the front foot and never looked back. 26-6 at half-time, tries on the night for Tom Lynham, he scored two, just Charlie can't stop scoring, he grabbed two, Kevin Brown, Ben Murdoch, Masilla, Toby King and Bryson Goodwin all scored, with Tyrone Roberts kicking eight goals. Leeds had just the two tries, Ryan Hall and Adam Cuthbertson, Liam Sutcliffe kicking two goals. Ultimately, they were never in that game beyond about the 50th minute.
Well, Tyrone Roberts should have had 9 conversions, but at the end he let Super Benny Westwood have a pop at goal from under the sticks and he missed it quite comically.
It was the comical moment of the semi-final day, wasn't it?
As he said, he went from heroes to zero in 10 seconds. So, Catalan's first final appearance for them since losing to the St. Helens 10 years ago. For Warrington, 5 in 10 years. And Benny Westwood's been to all of them. Let's hear from him right now.
It's been a good day today. We executed our game plan pretty well. And our forwards laid some foundations for our backs to score some tries. But again... back to Wembley and really looking forward to it.
Tremendous record then, 5 times in 10 years, that's something else.
Yeah, it's my 5th, very lucky that we've been able to get, there was a time where I got to about 28, 29 and I thought, we haven't got anywhere, and then all of a sudden all these have come at once, but it's a great feeling, it always is, and we've got a couple of weeks before it comes, but it's one that I'll be really, really looking forward to.
It's fair to say the guys have got themselves in a great position in the league, and now a cup final appearance to look forward to as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we've still got a bit of work to do in the league and to cement that top four. So we'll concentrate on that this week. We've got a couple of big games coming up. We've Catalans who are flying at the minute, and then Castleford obviously at home at their place, who are always a dangerous side. So we'll pick ourselves up. We'll celebrate tonight, but not too much. But we'll get ready for Catalans, and then we'll see what we can do. See if we can grab a few points there, and for the top four spot. But we're in really good shape.
I know you're probably going to disagree, but did it surprise you how comfortable it was for you guys out there today?
No, not really. We knew that, if we did what we planned, and we knew our forwards were really strong, and to get again today, our front three and our bench, did a really, really good job about getting us forward, which released Daz Clark to be able to do his running, and Steph and Bryson and Toby, they came in and did some really good work. But if we could stick to our plan and. There would be really no problems, but we did, thankfully, and we managed to nearly get to the 50 mark, but a missed kick at the end by some loser didn't quite do it. But it's a really good day, and we'll look forward to it in a couple of weeks.
Great atmosphere out there, and the fans seem to enjoy it as well.
Yeah, definitely. They always do, and. Big games like this, I think it was great that we got to have a double ender first time, and I think it's a great idea, to have a sellout crowd, and it makes the atmosphere all that much better. But really enjoyed it, first time I played here, and to come off with a really good win and a convincing win, topped it off.
And as your Super Benny Westwood, I'm sure the Warrington fans will let you off with that mess at the end.
Yeah, that's just what it is. I stepped up to Tyrone and said, "Do you want to kick it?" One minute the crowd were cheering like mad, and it was electric. And within seconds, I was from up here to down here. But it's lack of practice, I'd like to think. I've kicked us to a win at Wembley once before, and in 2010. I'm not sure I'll be able to do it this time. but it was good. I should have concentrated a little bit more. I just whacked it and it spooned it.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
That's a proper Yorkshire saying. I spooned it.
Yeah.
Super Benny Westwood there. Enjoying himself?
He sounds like he's enjoying himself, doesn't he? Why not?
Yeah, why
got to
not?
Wembley again. He, as he said earlier on in his career, he didn't think he'd ever get there, and now he's hardly been away, has he?
No, not at all. They made the game against Catalans look a bit of an easy formality, but we mentioned Catalans having problems getting back into and injuries and whatever.
And to be fair, they were always going to name a weakened side, weren't they? In fact, I wouldn't put it past them to any weakened sides right up until the final, because you just want to look after everybody, don't you? Make sure that you've got to be firing on the day.
Without a doubt. Let's talk League One, though. That's where the interesting race is. I know London shot witness to get the qualifying eights off 12 players, so we're going to hear from those guys very shortly. But, wow, the League One, it's hotting up, isn't it?
Yeah, you ventured off, didn't you, into deepest, darkest Wales.
I wouldn't call Wrexham deepest, darkest Wales.
I'd still describe it as deepest, darkest Wales. Yeah, it's still more than 40 minutes away from where we broadcast from.
Yeah, the day before York leapfrog over Bradford by defeating West Wales Raiders 130-0. It's not a good day for the West Wales guys. Pressure was on Bradford to score a shed full of points, wasn't it, to try and resurrect the situation back in their favour. Well, they got themselves enough points to overhaul the difference, but only by 10 they defeated the North Wales Crusaders.
48-0 it was.
48-0, yeah.
So in comparison to York's comfortable 130-0 defeat of West Wales the day before, you know they scored 22 tries in that game.
Wow, a lot of tries.
And I'm just thinking, you're going some if you're scoring 22 tries in a game, aren't you?
It's going to be nip and tuck all the way. Points difference will come into play, I've got a feeling. Because if you look at the rest of the fixtures, they've got five left. Where Bradford take on Workington, which is a crunch game in the next round of League One. Then they've got Keighley at home, West Wales away, which is the trump card, I suppose. And Oldham away. Then they finish with Hemel, Stags at home, York. I've got Huntsville at home, Workington away, Oldham at home. So Oldham are going to have a massive say on matters there, as are Workington. Hemel away, then they finish with Whitehaven.
Some really interesting fixtures there, isn't there? Yeah, and as you mentioned, Oldham have really could play a trump card down there, couldn't they, with both of those teams? And they're a very good defensive unit, Oldham, as well. So, you know, they're going to be going some to take the points off, because they actually need it as well for the pursuit of a top five spot themselves. I mean, you're looking at that table and, blimey, you've got Workington, Oldham, Doncaster, Hunslet and Whitehaven, when there's only 4 points between all of those teams.
Without a doubt. So Leon, who supported Bradford as a boy.
Yeah, Leon
played
Price.
For them, yes. Yeah. Workington head coach, he'd love to go there and defeat John Cairn and the boys.
I'm sure he would do. I mean, they beat him up at Derwent Park, didn't they?
They did. And we'll hear from Dane Chisholm right now, because he seems to feel Bradford have got a point to prove against Workington. This is the game they are looking forward to. Let's hear from him right now. Dane Chisholm, all in all, good day out for Bradford in Wales.
Yeah, mate, well, it was awesome coming here, but footy-wise it wasn't the best, was it? You know, we started pretty poor, but, you know, we defended real well, and, you know, if we defend our line and don't let points in, we're obviously going to win games, aren't we? So, yeah, mate, everyone's pretty happy with the win, but we can always be better.
So, obviously, the message from you guys is there room for improvement?
Yeah, definitely. More ball in hand, you know. We've got one of the best packs in the comp. The best pack in the comp. You know, in my opinion, the boys, you know, they're big boys, they're fit boys. They can hit hard, and you know, as long as we're holding the ball, it'll make their job a lot easier, getting us up the field and putting us in positions where we can put points on.
With what York did yesterday in South Wales, was that on your mind today?
Nah, mate. We're just worrying about us. You know, they played against West Wales. I think they only had 14 players, which is you know, it's always going to be an easy day for such a strong team like York. So, mate, we're just worrying about ourselves, and we're just going to go week by week and try and put as many points on and keep them out as much as we can, and hopefully, you know, at the end of this season, our job's done.
How are you feeling at the minute?
Mate, I'm good. You know, come back from this knee injury. It's taken a bit of time to get my running game back on, but you know, I'm confident now in my attack and D, and I'm loving my footy.
Jordan Lilly's in the frame as well with you. How's that partnership going?
Mate, it's awesome. We've got three very good halves now that can all play off each other. We've got Lilly that can luckily fit into the hooker role, so you can have us all on the field at the same time. You've seen him today, mate. His D was outstanding. He was leading the line when he was in at hooker, and you know, he always puts his body in the line, tries to hit them big boys. So it's good being able to have three halves on the field and all share the ball around, so it's good.
Looks like it's going to be an exciting race to the end. But for you guys, one game at a time.
Yeah, exactly, mate. One game at a time. Our big game is coming up this week. You know, I've been waiting for Workington because they did do us back in, I think it was round six or something. So, mate, we want to do a job on them. That's our next goal, do a job on them and then make our way, what is it, five games after that until the season's done. So we just want to keep turning up every week. We've got a few things to improve on, ball in hand, but just keep that D up and we'll be fine.
They will be fine, but it's going to be nip and tuck all the way with them and York.
Yeah, York have been brilliant this season. And,
so Bradford, to be honest.
Fair play to both of those teams, because they've lifted the standard of League One, haven't they?
Certainly resurrected themselves under John Cairn. He's put a decent team together, and they've got the fans back on side as well. I mean, there were 700 down there on Sunday.
That always helps, doesn't it, when you can get the fans on side? I mean, we've seen it in Super League with Widnes, how they seem to be isolating their fan base at the moment.
Yes.
And at Salford as well, who they can't seem to build that much on what they've already got.
We just heard from Dane Chisholm. Do you think he could go play at a higher level?
From what I've seen of him, which I have to admit hasn't been that much. I know
been
that he's
injured. He has been injured.
I know that he's quick, he's smart. You look at his point scoring prowess and he seems to be half decent in that respect. So why not? Maybe he'll get the opportunity to play at a higher level next season.
Funny you should mention Widnes. Let's talk about Widnes versus London Broncos. Widnes a Super League team, London Broncos a wannabe Super League team. Want to get back into the big league, don't they, after losing it a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Rocked up to Widnes, nothing really to lose. Vikings were a team low in confidence, 16 games without a win. Looking to get their Super League survival fight off with a win. Broncos spot the party.
They did, yeah. I was really impressed with London, if I'm being truthful, because it would have been easy for them to pack up and say, right, that's us done, when they trailed by 14 points to 4 midway through the second half. But they found a way to win, and that's something that has been highlighted over this run of, I think it's 7 wins in the last 8 games. I think they've been really, really good. They've had a number of close-run things as well. So, you know, fair play to the Broncos. They did outplay Widnes in the last third of the game. And for Widnes, they've got a big, big job on.
Who won what in the other games?
In the other games, we saw victories for Toronto at Halifax, for big Salford win against Hull Kingston Rovers, which was a surprise.
I didn't see that one myself, actually.
Real surprise. And then Toulouse pushed Leeds all the way before a strong finish from Leeds took them away. And that's where it finished. So victories over the course of the weekend for Toronto, Salford, Leeds and London Broncos.
It's going to be interesting, isn't it?
Oh, you're telling me.
It's going to be close. Let's hear from Danny Ward. He talked about that big win for the Broncos against Widnes in the opening round of the qualifying eights.
Danny Ward, first of all, we can talk about the game involving Widnes. Great comeback victory for you.
Yeah, it was down at half time, and the boys just had to have faith in what we was doing and keep going. And to come back like they did, it just shows the character of this team. And the effort from start to finish was massive, and they dealt with the adversity going behind and being behind at half time and picking themselves up a couple of times, you know, where I think it was 10 or 12 points down that second half, and to show the character to come back and stick to the game plan and stick to what they're doing was massive. So yeah, it's definitely something we can build on and be very pleased about tonight.
Another thing I'm sure you're pleased of is the fact that your own youngsters that have come in through the club. I know it's something that we've talked about in the past about, you know, such promise. You've got the likes of Highmarsh out there, had a great game. I think you mentioned in the main press conference he played about 3 different positions. You must be really pleased with guys like that and Alex Walker.
Yeah, we're so proud of us as juniors down in London. You know, myself and Langers have had a few years now of developing them kids from under 15s all the way up to first team. So seeing him come through is really pleasing and makes you proud. But you know, like I say, you've got people like Kieran who's come through his junior ranks as well. So we've been doing it for a number of years, producing good players for a long time, well before I was there and Langers was there. You know, it's something that London does well, and there's a lot of kids playing the game down there. So to see a few on shore tonight, you know, it does make you proud. And but it was, like I say, 1-17 were outstanding tonight. So it's just about the London kids.
Has that helped because of your involvement in the development, you think, over the last few years? Because, you know, you've been down there a number of years now, haven't you?
Yeah, that's it. I've been down, you know, 10, 11 years. I was playing down there when Dicko was just a young kid coming into training as a 16-year-old. So I see how he was developing. And then, like I said, getting back and being involved with a lot of players who are in the first team now when there was under 15s, under 16s. So it does help. You do get to know the lads, you know, off the field and on the field. So it's, you do, like I say, it's good to continue that development. And like I said, Langers has done it as well, and he knows the players. So when they come to first team, you've already spent quite a few years with them already and know the game. And they're good characters as well. They're great kids, and they're wanting to learn. They're eager to learn, and they're progressing quite well.
you had a great end to the season. I mean, looking at the stats, I think, was it 6 wins from the last 7 games? You've continued that. There's been some real momentum this season, hasn't there?
Yeah, and we spoke about you've got to peak at the right time, haven't you? As you've got to come into the back end of the season in good form, and the tough games that we had at the back end of the year where they were must win games. You know, the last 4 games there were must win, and we did that. And like I said, you've got to draw on them experience of going to some tough places, going to Featherstone and grinding out wins, and that's no different than when you come to Widnes. So that has, you know, we spoke, said, put us in good stead for hopefully coming into these qualifiers. But we're not just gonna rest on that. We've got a lot of work to do, a lot of things to fix up from tonight, and we'll keep working hard and trying to continue this form.
Does it just go straight back out on the training field then?
100%. That's what we've been like all year. You know, we've had some good wins and we enjoy them. You know, the boys will enjoy that tonight. It'll be you know, a happy bus on the way home. But as we always say, it's next job now. Next job is Leeds, and we'll let the boys unwind for a day. They'll come in, and then it's back straight back on focus. This will be forgotten in a day's time, and we're straight back with the focus. It's a very, very good side. Current champions coming down to London on Sunday.
Quick word again about these eights, because obviously you've got the likes of Hull Kingston Rovers, Widnes, Salford, Leeds, like you have a long association with. It's an exciting competition, isn't it?
It's fantastic. I love it. I think it's really good. I know, like I said, there's a lot of knockers, and there's positives and negatives with it. I get that, but as excitement goes, and it really gives us in the championship something to play for, having a top four playoff with the chance of getting into the middle eights against some Super League opposition, play on Sky, have nights like this, it's fantastic. It really is. I do hope they carry on with the concept, and that's not for me, but we love them. Yes, there's lots of pressure with them that comes with it, and getting in the top four and things like that, but that's sport, isn't it? There's a lot more high pressure jobs than what we're doing.
Does that not also prepare players as well? Because you're going to come through adverse times, you know, and adversity brings people together stronger, doesn't it?
Totally, yeah. We spoke about adversity and dealing about it. We've done a lot of that this year, and you know, you've got to have the character to deal with adversity, and when it's tough and when back's against the wall, to keep fighting, keep doing what you're doing, keep believing in each other, and have that trust as a team. And hopefully, you know, they're building quite a strong team down here. It's all mates, and they work hard for each other, and that's what you want.
Flying the flag for the championship, I'm really pleased that you've took that first step.
Yeah, very much so. You know, it was nice to kick off on a Sky game, and like I said, there's some good teams in the championship, and we all want to show, you know, the rest of the rugby league world what we're about. And but we're not getting carried away at all. You know, it's one win. You know, it's no good winning tonight if we go and lose the next six. So we've got to, like I say, enjoy it. We've played well. We've shown a bit about what we're about in London, but we've got to keep working, keep striving to be better next week.
You're going to have to be to play Leeds, and if they win there, my word, they'd be buzzing.
Yeah, I believe that they've sold a great amount of tickets down there. I think they're expecting a crowd of over 2,000 turning up, which is some really good work done by that club. Yeah, they're doing a lot of things right, London.
Could be another ugly day for Sir Kev.
You never know.
In the capital, couldn't
you? You never know, indeed.
All right, we're out of here. Thanks very much if you have been listening to the Final Hooter on loveforbelieve.com. Thanks very much to Radio General. Let's leave the last words to up-and-coming prop or second rower, is he?
Proper second row, yeah.
Yeah, Daniel Hindmarsh. We'll see you. Wow, Daniel Hindmarsh. A win on the road, Super League opposition at the start of the qualifiers. What a night for the Broncos.
Yeah, it's my first time playing a Super League opposition. So first year of this, really. First time experiencing it, it's been really good. Teams played really well, come together really well, and we all knew what we had to do. We knew our game plan, and we executed it. Look, at times we went off it, but as soon as we stayed on it, we started rolling them, and we knew. So it's just a credit, really, well done to the team for just sticking to the game plan and playing how we played. We never throw the towel in. Like, we've had games before like this. We played Halifax, we played Fev. We've had to go 60 minutes of really close games, 70 minutes, you know, like... It's not like it wasn't easy, but we knew if we stayed on our job, and we know we have the fitness, and we have like our squads together, so we know what to do, and we've all got each other's backs. So because we have that, it's like we won't give up against anyone.
When we did to 14-4, what was your thoughts at that point?
14-4, I was just literally like, we knew we have the fitness again, so we knew it was just staying on them. we put a lot of pressure on them, so we knew their legs were blowing, and as long as we kept applying that pressure, they would crack, and they started to crack, as you can see in the game. They started to like drop their heads, they started to make some mistakes, and we just pounced on it.
And obviously grew in confidence as the tries came.
Yeah, we've had a lot of wins on the bounce now, so we're just trying to keep that streak, really. Mm. Like, we're the underdogs, but you know what, we're coming here to win, so we'll just keep on trying to win.
You got the job goal, and when the heater went, you certainly enjoyed the moment.
Oh, yeah, that was like, I've never lost at Broncos, so I want to keep it going. Nice. So, yeah, we had a chance against Toulouse a couple of months back, and we had a chance to go for a job ball, and we've been practicing it, so it's basically practice makes perfect, really.
You're saying it's your first time with the Broncos, is that how are you finding it?
It's been good. Like this was supposed to be my last year at academy, but they brought me up early and exposed me to it, and it's been really nice. I've played games on the bounce now, and it's like I say, Danny Ward and Langers and all that, they really bring you into it, and the players as well. Like all the players, it's just one family. Like I know a lot of people say that, but everyone's got each other's back. We've had a lot of academy players come up this year early, and it's like they've all had spells and they've all been killing it, so it's just literally, as our academy seems to be killing it really, so it's just keep bringing through the youth, really.
Absolutely rubbing off on the first day, and to come here and beat a Super League opposition, what a result for you guys.
Yeah, it's a good feeling. You know, we've got more to come.